It's been a long time since I've shared something from Paul, and it's like going back to visit an old friend. You know, I love Paul's life and the epistles and everything that God used him to give us. And so we're going to look at Philippians, and the introduction of Philippians is Paul talking to the saints about being saints. And in that, he offers a prayer for them. And I think that, you know, one of the things I really appreciate about the apostle is the prayers that he wrote in different, scriptures, like Ephesians has 2 or 3, and just how powerful those are in telling me, one, what I need as a Christian, and two, how I should pray for you and how I'd want you to pray for me. There's a lot in this. So we're going to look at Paul's relationship and hopefully see our relationship to a degree in that, and understanding, what is it that God wants us to be? What is God looking for, in our lives? What renovations, what changes, what growth does the Lord want to see in us and expect to see in us? And that's what we'll see in Paul's prayers. First, we begin with the beginning of the chapter, the book. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Jesus Christ in Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And first of all, as he is addressing the church, he in a sense is not addressing everybody equally. He also is really talking about the leadership, the episcopoi and the deacons. The episcopoi were the actual heads, the leaders of the church, those who would help to keep the doctrine straight, to keep the church life straight, those kinds of things. And he has had a deep relationship with these people. You remember in the book of Acts, Paul went to Philippi and he was immediately, put in jail because he brought, a young lady to faith who caused trouble for others. And they locked him up, they beat him, and he, persecution began to take place there, right? And yet the people of that city that came to faith, they developed a fellowship, a partnership in the ministry with him. And that's why when he prayed for them, he'd think of them and he'd think of how close they were, how they shared in common the idea of the importance of Jesus Christ, the importance of God working in our lives, and it just gave him this great sense of joy, right? And I really, there are people, as a pastor, there are people that you pray for, and sometimes when you're praying, it's like, oh Lord, I hope they make it. I hope they can figure out where they're going wrong, that kind of thing, right? There's some folks that you lift up and you pray, because you're not sure where they are. You're not sure how well they're walking and living the life, okay? That's it. Those are harder prayers. The one that he's talking about here, though, are people that are doing well, people that are standing up in the name of Jesus. They're trying to get all that they can inside of them. They're trying to do what's right. And they've shown that in working and partnering and everything that Paul was about. They were engaged in it. They loved it. There was a fellowship, a meeting of hearts and minds. And so about those ones, he says, I am confident, and this is in a perfect tense, I stand today confident because of what I've seen happening in you. I've seen God working in you. I've seen Jesus Christ, affect your heart, affect your mind, affect your life. And he says, so I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you is going to carry it out to completion. And it just reminds us, and we're going to be reminded a few times in the book of Philippians, that you know, being a Christian is not a one and done thing. I've told you that hundreds of times. It's not about a decision you made sometime in your past. It is about being God's person. And that means growing constantly. He says, you know, Jesus Christ began a good work and he will continue to work. He will continue to grow you. There's some good news in that, isn't there? You know, one is, you know, I know that I've made mistakes. I know that I haven't done everything right, you know, but God's still working. Amen, right? I mean, in other words, that, you know, I remember one of my favorite conversations was a guy who's like 70 years old. He's a pastor, pretty well known down in Mississippi. And I was talking to him about ministry. So, and he says, you know, he says, in life you have about 3 years of effectiveness. He said, Jesus had 3 years of effectiveness. John the Baptist had 3 years of effectiveness. And he said, I think I'm just coming to that 3 years of effectiveness. You know, he's 70 years old. He's been doing ministry for, you know, many years. John Perkins was his name. And you know, did ministry for many, many years, wrote books and all kinds. But at 70, he said, I think I'm just now getting there where I can see God really getting ready to use me in a way he's not done before. That's what Christ is doing in our lives. He, you know, if he's working in you and he continues to work in you, there's always that hope that it's going to get better and better and better as time goes on. I think that, by the way, we sometimes throw out the doctrine of election. That is the right use of the doctrine of election. It's not, you know, this thing about choosing and that. It's really about God being effective in your life. And if he's been effective, if he's at work, he's not going to stop. That's what the doctrine of election usually is about, you know, in the Bible. It's about us being in God's hand and God continuing to hold us in his hand and keeping us safe as we go. So he says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. So he's in jail at this time. He's in prison again for the cause of the gospel. And he's just reminding these people how much he loves them. And, he's the other part about this is so cool is that Paul's chained up. Paul's locked down. He can't go out. But he is still doing ministry. Because his ministry isn't just, you know, like this, like I have to be with you and share with you and talk to you. But sitting in that cell, he said, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be calling on the name of the Lord for you. I'm going to be, in other words, there's a spiritual activity. And they can't lock that up. They can't stop that. You know, some great testimonies have happened while people, there was a guy in China that was locked in jail in prison, Pastor Hung. And he was locked up in prison and just in horrible conditions. And he just kept, you know, doing ministry in his heart and life and ended up, you know, saving just about everybody in his cell block got saved, you know. Really cool stuff. You cannot lock up. You can't stop the ministry of God. And for Paul, whether he was in chains or where he was free to be out with the people, he was still engaged with them. They were in his heart and he was lifting them up. You know, part of the ministry we get to do is right here, you know, face-to-face in public and talking to each other and stuff like that. But we pray for one another. We pray for one another. Sometimes I just sit down and I try to kind of remember row by row and seat by seat. And you know, sometimes my head's not that great with names sometimes, you know, but I remember a face and I say, Lord, that one right there, you know, I want you to, you know, be with that one. I want you to help them. I want you to, you know, help them to understand who you are and what you've done. And we lift each other up in prayer and we ask God's protection. We ask God's grace. We ask for God to continue that work. And that's what Paul's doing. He says, this is my prayer. That you may that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want to take that prayer slowly. First of all, he says that, you know, I pray that your love they abound more and more. You know, one of the most important things about being a Christian is having love, having sincere, real love in your life. Not human love, you know, we'll go through that. But if you don't have love, everything that we end up doing ends up kind of being selfish. Let's put some of these up here. Yeah. If you don't have love, you're going to, you know, do things for yourself. You're going to think only of yourself. Love is that which looks out for others. It thinks about others. We'll see that in chapter 2, of course, the mind of Christ, right? The other part is, without love, decision-making becomes kind of a cold, calculated business. How I, you know, what I do, well, I just, you know, chop, poop, you know? You make those hard, cold decisions. I think our culture, because of, movies like The Godfather, you know, it's not personal, it's business. Meaning that I didn't think about you at all, I was just going through my business. You can't do that. You know, there have been times in my life where I've wanted to do something just because I, you know, felt like I was boxed in, or I wasn't comfortable, I wasn't happy. And all God had to do was remind me of the people that might be disappointed or hurt by that decision. In other words, love has to inform our decision making. Love has to be at the core of who we are. You know, in Corinthians, he tells us that our gifts, if we don't use our gifts in love, that they're useless, right? Doesn't, you know, so, you know, go to church, do ministry, do this, do that. But if there's no love engaged in it, if it's not because I care about the people around us and I want people to, you know, come to know Christ, and you know, if there's no love, it's like, might as well stay at home and watch TV, you know? So Paul's first saying that love may abound more and more. One of the things, and I pray this for myself, I said, God, help me to be loving. Help me to be, you know, because we're talking about a supernatural gift of love. We're not talking about normal human affection. We're talking about a supernatural gift of love, love that comes from God. You know, God's love is other-centered. God's love is looking out for the good of others. That's the love that says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Jesus when we were enemies, right? That's love. That's God's love. It's other-centered, other thinking. You can't live right, you can't be right without that gracious love of God in your heart and life. It'll make you a better everything. Better father, better mother, better husband, better everything. You name your position in life, having the love of God in you will make you better. And so Paul's playing. But you can't have what I call sloppy love. That's what the universalists like to talk about, you know. Just love. You know, there's no morality to it. There's no holiness to it. There's no consideration of anything other than love, right? Sloppy love. So how do you stop from having sloppy love? He goes on. He says, you know, that you would abound more and more in love, in knowledge and in the depth of insight. And this idea of knowing God. He uses the word epignose. Epignose is this knowledge where, you know, a straight-A student has that epignose, all right? Right? Because they know the subject well. They know it inside and out. We're not talking about, I kind of know it, or I think I got it. We're talking about, I know the subject. I know it very well. And he says, I want you to have that epignosi, that you know, ability to really know and understand God. And then the idea of insight added to that is the ability to kind of recognize distinctions and being able to kind of practically apply that knowledge, to test it, to try it, to get, you know, that sense of what is right. So I know God. I know His truth. I know His word, right? You see? I know about God. And then with love, now I can make loving, wise, righteous, holy decisions. You see? And then the decision making comes out of that process. So, you know, just love by itself, you end up making immoral decisions. You know, because there's no moral code, there's no holiness, there's no righteousness, there's nothing to guide us, right? With understanding God, and again, God has communicated to us through His Word. He has communicated to us through His Spirit. He has communicated to us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things, you know, putting that righteousness, that holiness, that frame of mind that comes from God, mixed with love, gives you the ability to make better decisions. You can make better decisions with that. So that you may be able to discern what is best. It's the idea of examining things that come up in life, right? Testing out things. One of the challenges that comes to us is in this world, right, where there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of trouble, the problems pop up, you know, sometimes it's relational stuff, sometimes it's just social stuff. There's so many things that rise up in life, it can give you a headache. I mean, it can be hard, it can be frustrating, it can make you want to give up. And you need a capacity to be able to deal with the questions that life itself raises in order to stay right, okay? And so as the situations rise, again, with love and understanding that come from God, there's an ability to assess life, to assess issues, to assess relationships, to assess everything, okay? And to be able to come out with the right answer, to examine it, to test it, to prove, okay, in your own heart. Okay, I know what should be done. And I know what's right. And sometimes it's, you know, stuff that might be hard for you, right? But good for somebody else. Because why? Love's engaged in it, right? God's engaged in it. Usually when you talk about God and making decisions about your life and that kind of thing, it usually considers what is good for the most. What is good for the body? What is good for the brothers and the sisters and, you know, the family or whatever, right? What is best? The decision-making usually doesn't begin with what do I need? What do I want? You know, what make me happy? Those kinds of decision-making, you know, usually end up in kind of a lonely existence. But here we're talking about the community of God, the process of being renovated into His person, being made into His person, that wisdom of God, the love of God, and then the things of life, and we determine day by day, minute by minute, decision by decision. That's what Christianity is. It's those thousands of decisions that we make in a godly manner that lead us towards the holy life. And he says, you know, then we may be blameless. I'm sorry, we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. It's interesting because this text says, in effect, if you could translate it this way, you test and prove as you're making your decision, and your decision will stand up to the test. Right? In other words, if I'm engaged with God and I'm following God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's love, and that's guiding me through the decision-making process in how I behave and what I do, when I stand before the Lord, it's going to be proven. It's going to be tested again by the Lord. It literally means to be pure and blameless. It means to be able to stand out in the light. You know, I do a lot of furniture stuff in my garage. I took this pulpit in a few days and did some stuff on it, you know. And I often will do, you know, woodworking and things like that. And my garage has kind of dim fluorescent lights. And so, you know, what do? When I'm done with something, I take it outside. And that's the first time I see it in the light. and I say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't notice that before, you know. Either it's a real pleasing experience, like, wow, that looks good, or, uh-oh, guess I didn't see that very clearly, you know. And you got to take it back in and do some more work, right? That's our lives before the Lord. I mean, you know, one day, all of our decision making, all of the, how, you know, we're living our life, we're going to stand in front of the Lord, and it's a bright light shining on us. And you know, if we've tested our decision making, you know, if it's been engaged with God, if it's been engaged in His love, if it's been from Him and in us, right? Then when we stand in the light, it's going to show, yes, you're fine, you're good, you see, you did it right. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for, and you know, again, what are we looking at? We're looking at Paul praying for saints, praying for people. God, help them to be filled with love. Help them to be filled with a knowledge that is thorough of You and who You are. Help them to be able to apply that knowledge. Help them to test and prove what is right. Help them to be ready so that on that day when the light shines, they're ready. They're ready. They receive an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God because, you know, the decision-making has been right. Through the gifts and grace of God, the decision-making has been right. That's what, I mean, you know, how many of you ever pray for these things? That's why I love these prayers, because this is an apostle praying for a church. This is what leaders should be praying for their you know, disciples about. You know, what I want for you guys is I want you to know God. I want you to be filled with the love of God, with the wisdom and spirit of God. I want you to be able to make godly decisions that are more than about you and about each other and about life, you know, in a much better sense than what we do by nature. I want you to be ready to stand in the light of God on that great day, filled with the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What does God want from us? What is it, what is the work that He's doing, the renovation that God is doing in our lives? He's given us a Savior. He's given us Jesus. We talked about His death and His resurrection. He's given us power of righteousness, to be righteous in our hearts, in our minds. He's given us that gift of righteousness. He's given us an ability to call on the name of the Lord and to receive love, to receive wisdom, to receive understanding from God so that we can live out that righteousness day to day. That we keep that gift of Jesus Christ and we put it into practice in our hearts and in our minds, in all of our decision making, so that one day when we stand in the light of God, what will be seen is Jesus Christ works. The gospel works. The power of His death and resurrection works. The wisdom of His word, it works. It is effective. It is able to produce in us fruit of righteousness. All the right decisions, how to help, who to help. All the right decisions, how to love, how to be merciful. All the good decisions about how to behave towards my wife, how to behave towards others, how to behave in, you know, in this broken world. All those decisions formed by Christ in our lives, making us ready to stand in front of the Lord, and He'll say, yeah, I see. Jesus worked, didn't He? That's all He's going to say to us. Jesus worked, didn't He? Didn't Jesus do the work? Didn't Jesus get into your heart and life and make you my son? That's what's going to happen on that day. So let's pray for one another. Let's pray that the love of God would be in our hearts. Father, we do. We pray that Your Holy Spirit and grace would be upon us, that Your love would be in us, Almighty God. Let it be more and more, increasing always. That's how it's said. And help us, Father, to know You through Your word, through Your spirit, through fellowship with brothers and sisters. Help us to know You. Help us to be able to determine with Your love and wisdom all the right decisions. Help us to fix those when we've made mistakes. Help us to go on, O Lord God. Help us to be ready to stand in that light, mighty God. Help us, O Lord, to be ready to show the fruit that Jesus has borne in our lives. And above all, Lord, we thank You that the one who began a good work in us He is able to bring it about to completion. This is an ongoing thing, and we thank you so much that you are still working in us, still leading us closer, still helping us more. Help us again, Father. Help us again. Be with brothers and sisters and friends here, Lord, and bless them with these things, we pray. Help us, Lord, as we come to celebrate your table, as we remember again our Lord Jesus Christ, his great gift, and your plan for us, Father, that we would recognize the work that you want to see happening in us. And help us, Father, please, to do that, to work with you. Let's prepare our hearts for communion.